Good morning and welcome, and thank you for making it here. Teas and coffees will be served in the Mayo Hall between the services this morning. Would you mind washing or sanitising your hands before you go into the Mayo Hall, please? The sanitisers are in the front at the both entrances to the church. The lunchtime recital this coming Thursday has sadly been cancelled. There will be a reflective worship this evening at 6:30. Thank you.
Stand together to worship God. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord who is our Maker. For God is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture. We join together to sing, As the Deer Pants for the Water. As we always say the psalm, come, let us praise the Lord. Let us sing for joy to God who protects us. Let us come before God with thanksgiving and sing joyful songs of praise. For the Lord is a mighty God, a mighty King over all the gods. God rules over the whole earth, from the deepest caves to the highest hills. God rules over the sea which God made, the land also which God himself formed. Come, let us bow down and worship God. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. God is our God. We are the people God cares for, the flock for which God provides. Listen today to what God says. Don't be stubborn as your ancestors were at Meribah, as they were that day in the desert at Massah. There they put me to the test and tried me, although they had seen what I did for them. For 40 years I was disgusted with those people. I said, how disloyal they are. They refuse to obey my commands. I was angry and made a solemn promise. You will never enter the land where I would have given you rest. Let's join together to pray. Let's pray. Life-giving God, we gather today hungry and thirsty for you. Fill us to overflowing that we would not hunger and thirst anymore. We come to you, O Lord, recognizing that only you can quench our deepest thirst and satisfy our deepest hunger. As we approach your throne, may we recognize your life-giving spirit that dwells within us. Draw us closer to you today. Forgive us when we have tried to fill our thirst and satisfy our hunger with things that come from other places. Forgive us when we have been prejudiced towards those on the edge of our society. Forgive us when we have become obsessed and overwhelmed with fear. Forgive us when we have been overwhelmed by our thoughts of our own needs and ignored the needs of our neighbors. Help us, Lord, to love you more and so to love others. Help us, Lord, to love you more and so have our thoughts increased about who is lovely and loved in your sight. Open our hearts and minds and eyes to all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
As a way of introducing today's talk and sermon, got a little quiz. Number 3, food and water. How are they all linked? Any ideas? The number 3, food and water. Well, food, we generally, as human beings, can live approximately 3 weeks without food. And famously, Mahatma Gandhi, he did his hunger strike for 21 days. when he was protesting about the rule in India at the time. But water, we can only survive for about 3 days. So far less. We need water regularly. It depends on the body, the sustenance and everything. And today we're going to be talking about water is so important to us. We can't survive without it. How do we liken the scriptures and following Jesus to the need for water? Thank you.
So we join to sing, picking up this metaphor, the water of life. So one of the strange things about the Gospel according to Luke is these long conversations. Last week we had the long conversation with Nicodemus. This week we have the long conversation between Jesus and the woman. This conversation is about those who are on the edges and those who are marginalised. And Catherine Truig, who is not on the edges and not marginalised, will read this passage to us. Oh, and by the way, there's no sermon on this order of service. Don't get your hopes up.
In Samaria, he came to a town named Sychar, which was not far from the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw some water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink of water." His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The woman answered, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan. So how can you ask me for a drink? Jews will not use the same cups and bowls that Samaritans use." Jesus answered, "If only you knew what God gives and who it is that is asking you for a drink, you would ask him, and he would give you life-giving water." "Sir," the woman said, "you haven't got a bucket, and the well is deep. Where would you get that life-giving water?" "It was our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well. He and his sons and his flocks all drank from it. You don't claim to be greater than Jacob, do you?" Jesus answered, "All those who drink this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring which will provide him with life-giving water and give him eternal life. Sir, the woman said, give me that water, then I will never be thirsty again, nor will I have to come here to draw water. Go and call your husband, Jesus told her, and come back. I haven't got a husband, she answered. Jesus replied, you are right when you say you haven't got a husband. You have been married to 5 men, and the man you live with now is not really your husband. You have told me the truth. I see you are a prophet, sir, the woman said. My Samaritan ancestors worshipped God on this mountain, but you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where we should worship God. Jesus said to her, believe me, woman, the time will come when people will not worship the Father either on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans do not really know whom you worship, but we Jews know whom we worship, because it is from the Jews that salvation comes. But the time is coming and is already here, when by the power of God's Spirit, people will worship the Father as he really is, offering him the true worship that he wants. God is Spirit, and only by the power of his Spirit can people worship him as he really is. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah will come, and when he comes, he will tell us everything. Jesus answered, I am he. I am talking with you. At that moment, Jesus' disciples returned, and they were greatly surprised to find him talking with a woman. But none of them said to her, what do you want? Or asked him, why are you talking with her? Then the woman left her water jar, went back to the town, and said to the people there, come and see the man who told me everything I have ever done. Could he be the Messiah? So they left the town and went to Jesus. In the meantime, the disciples were begging Jesus, teacher, have something to eat. But he answered, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. So the disciples started asking among themselves, could somebody have brought him food? My food, Jesus said to them, is to obey the will of the one who sent me and to finish the work he gave me to do. You have a saying, 4 more months and then the harvest. But I tell you, take a good look at the fields. The crops are now ripe and ready to be harvested. The one who reaps the harvest is being paid and gathers the crops for eternal life. So another will sow, and the one who reaps will be glad together. The saying is true. One sows, another reaps. I have sent you to reap a harvest in a field where you did not work. Others work there, and you profit from their work. Many of the Samaritans in that town believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritan came to him, they begged him to stay with them, and Jesus stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his message, and they said to the woman, we believe now, not because of what you said, but because we ourselves have heard him, and we know that he really is the Savior of the world.
Nicodemus, that we encountered last week, has got a name. He's got a position in society. We heard a story in John 3, a leader and a respected Jew. He sneaks out at night to meet with Jesus. He wants to argue with Jesus and discuss important points of theology. That's where he starts. He desires to know more. She, though, has no name, no position, and her encounter happens in the heat of the day. Her encounter is all about her need for water, living water, and his need for water because he is thirsty. In John, we get long incidents and conversations we don't get in other places. This conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman, we only get here. Who is she? No idea. All we know is she is an outsider, trying to keep good order in her home, getting in the water. Water is something that we take for granted. It's everyday, it's mundane. We are rarely short of it. Taps bring us clean water that gushes into our homes, which is a dream beyond the thoughts of many in our world. Imagine if you spent the day moving water from one place to another, what you would think of a tap. To imagine a life that is short of water is probably beyond our imagination. We are used to people who want to talk to us. Not everybody, not all the time, but social interaction at a certain level, certain regard, certain respect, people to visit, people to call. Imagine a life that is short of that. Again, for many, probably beyond our imagination. She is outside. She's outside because of her race, because of her gender, because of her religion, and we get the vibe socially too. And the water gathering was usually a social event, everybody together, going off to get the women all together, getting the water. First thing in the morning, that's your first job before the sun comes up, you get the water in. And she is not part of that happy gang. One too many bitchy comment, maybe. Minimizing the harsh comments that people make, she protects herself and she goes to get water at a strange time. For those of us who are white, relatively well off, educated, homed, straight, fluent in English, it is tough to remember that we are included in the church. Our inclusion in the church is nothing to do with such things. There is no social thing about us that makes us more acceptable than another person. It is love that gives us the place at Jesus' table. It is love that gives us the space in the heart of Jesus, and it is only love. And we who are used to feeling accepted and welcomed need to remember that it is not anything about us. It is about God and God's initiative and God's love. We might be that being accepted and being regarded is our normal, but in a Christian context, it is the initiative of God. But for her and her team, those like her, that is not how it is. And in these times, there's an increasing group of people who suddenly find themselves outside, and they've never felt like that before. Outside. Resources, outside of care, but inside when it comes to the love of God. The interesting thing, though, is how he shows to her that she is precious. He asks her for help. Asking people for help. For many people, is a really foreign and difficult thing. Ask someone for help. For some people, they would rather cut their tongue off. Ask someone for help. It would be much more regular if this text said, Jesus turned to the woman and said, "Here, would you like some water? Can I give you a hand with that bucket? In fact, let's be honest. Let's organize a campaign and get a better quality well going on." Instead, he turns to her and asks for a gift. He asks for water. She is an outsider, racially, morally, religiously, and he asks her for help. Who would you not ask help from? He asks for her help. And if he is our model, what does it say? In these times, what does it say about being prepared to ask and to receive help? Of course, give help, blah, blah, blah. That goes without saying, but receive it as well. Firstly, sometimes it's good to ask for help. I think it's one of the strengths of Kingston Unite Reformed Church that we've got beyond that notion of if we are church, then we're strong. And we can sort anything out. Come and march behind us. That's not how it is. We are a community and a people who have learned how to partner with others and to allow others to help us, and so we can work together. But for some people, asking for help is so difficult. Can you be secure enough to be dependent on another person? Can you be secure enough to receive someone's help? Jesus asked for help because he's thirsty, and she could easily have turned round and told him to sling his hook, clear off. Who the hell do you think you are? You're high and mighty Jewishness with looking down your noses at us Samaritans. He coming round here with your gang of disciples. Sling your hook. Water, I should water you. Not you're not. Do not think you're getting water from me. He makes himself vulnerable when he asks for help. Doesn't have the means to get the water from the well. He could have waited. He could have waited till the disciples. He might have been thirsty, but he wasn't that thirsty. He could have waited till the disciples got back and got them to get cracking on in their disciple-ish way. They could have sorted it for him. But he asks her for help. She's independent. She's used to making her own way. And his message of good news could have been too much for her to hear. But he makes himself vulnerable to her. He does something shocking. He asks for help. The thing about Jesus is he meets people where they are. Not where he'd like them to be, not where they're going to be, but where they are. If you've been married 5 times and the person you're with now is not your husband, then you are used to cracking your own path and making your own way. You're used to sorting stuff out and managing your life. And that's how she's been. And he has the audacity to ask her for help. So Jesus meets us where we are and calls us into something that is new. What is it that Jesus is asking you and me to leave behind? What are the ideas about ourselves that keep us limited that his love would change and challenge? And I'm thinking to myself as I'm putting this together, come on, surely everybody in the world knows this. There's nothing new about this. This is everybody knows that Jesus meets us where we are and wants us to move on with him. And then literally, and I know you do not believe this, you're thinking this is some sort of funky sermon illustration, but it is not true. Literally, the phone went. Pick up the phone, and a total stranger tells me about how, because of their particular situation, they have been ostracized by their family and friends and are now outside. Literally, typing, phone goes, and that's what happens. There are people that we meet who need to hear the message that God loves them. You might take it for granted. I might take it for granted. You might say to me, I've known that all my life. Yeah, fair enough, you might have, but other people haven't. How are you going to live a life that shows that truth? And demonstrates that love. And raises the curiosity to wonder, could it be possible? Is it really true? Let us be still, and then we will pray. The drip, drip, drip of your living water. That satisfies our deepest thirsts. May we show others and demonstrate to others and tell others of this truth. Lord, we pray. Amen. We join together to sing, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say.
Thank you.
So let us pray. We pray for those places around the world where there is no fresh water, for places that suffer constant drought, or where people have to walk miles to the nearest well. We pray for those on the margins of society because of their status, their age, their disability, their background, their race, those who seem to have no voice. We pray for those who at this season are frightened, for those locking themselves away. Buying too much in the shops. Obsessing with the news. Putting their mental health at risk. We pray for those who are ill. Knowing that most people will quickly recover. We pray for those who are ill and their life is at risk. We pray for those who have waited for an operation and now they wonder whether it will be cancelled, because they need intensive beds for other things. And yet still people get cancer, have accidents, and need treatment. We pray for those who hear these messages and wonder whether, because of their age or their disability, actually they are worthless, and it plugs into their deepest fears. So for those who need to know about the water of life, because they are lonely, anxious, sad, we bring our prayers, Lord Jesus. For the medics and the administrators, for the politicians, for those that we love. Water of life, quench us with your life-giving spirit. Take us beyond our fears and renew your hope within us. Lord, we pray. Amen. So just a wee quick notice, really. So the way we're playing this is, it's business as usual, in the sense that we will gather to worship, continue our activities, and we are aware that some people have got conditions that mean that they should be staying away, and we are certainly aware that there are people who are keeping themselves away from others. All fine and dandy. Let nobody feel obligated or pressurized to fulfill a rota responsibility or to gather. We're not interested in that sort of pressure. However, we will be here day by day, week by week, and we will be gathering to worship God and doing the things we do. And if you want more information, then you will email us, or you will find out stuff on the website. But that's where we are. So no pressure, but similarly, in the face of a fear like this, the thing to do is to gather to pray and to worship, is it not? So that's where we are. Now, our offerings will be received. Let us pray. Receive the money that we have. Bless the money we keep for ourselves. Receive our lives dedicated to you, a response to your love for us. Thank you. Amen. We join to sing our final hymn, "Will You Come and Follow Me?" And as we go from this place today, may we take the life-giving, water-quenching Spirit with us, and may we be enabled to share it with those that we meet. Thanks be to God. Amen.